We'll be in the second half of the hour spending time with two different acting companies. First, the production of York, and then Spokane Civic Theater's Sordid Lives. So a busy time, which we'll launch into right now by hearing the overture to Purcell's opera. Trevor Pinnock leading the English concert in the overture to the opera Dido and Aeneas. Here's Tim Westerhaus. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Vern.
And let's jump right in on talking about, first about Purcell. He lived such a tragically short life and yet did that great stuff. What's the attraction for you of Purcell?
Purcell, well, comes from the mid-Baroque, so Baroque had settled well into its style, but in England, a very distinct style from French and German Baroque. And for our audiences and our performers, it's fantastic because here's a Baroque composer who writes lyrics in English, so including operatic works as well as his beautiful sacred works. So he's a real attraction for our performers.
Let's spend a moment on that English style, as much as words can ever describe music. And we heard a little example of that. How do you talk about that unique style?
Yeah, so it draws from some French styles with regard to dance, but there's also a real, particularly in some of the dramatic works, a real rustic and even folk-like character to some of those dances. So it's an opaque, at times with some of the harmonies, a lot of things that strike us as very chromatic today, augmented triads, not settling right in the major or minor modes, highly prized dissonance that's distinct from the Italian and French.
And talk about that relative to the dramatic needs. Was that the point?
Absolutely. Yeah, using this chromaticism to heighten. But it was also just a different understanding of what was normal vocabulary. So things that strike us as very dissonant were indeed dissonant to the listener then, but really a highly expressive moment to relay angst or desire or passion.
And the famous old story of Dido and Aeneas, was this a first time probably that it had been created as an opera, or was it a pretty common story in the time?
It was a well-known story in that it goes back to Virgil's Aeneid. So based on that great epic and excerpting the story between Dido, queen of Carthage, and Aeneas, prince of Troy. So unfortunately, our protagonist, male, is a defeated soldier from the whole Trojan horse escapade and such. But it was a well-known story to Purcell's audience. They knew because it was part of that legend and great novel tradition. But it was one of the earliest English Baroque operas, preceded likely only by John Blow's Venus and Adonis.
And let's kind of launch into a little bit more of the music of this. When you have this sequence you brought to us, is what we're about to hear, this Come Away, Fellow Sailors, can you say typical, or how does it place in the overview of this opera?
So the reason I highlighted this one is this opera is very interesting for the diversity of characters, and alternately the full ensemble, the full cast, is courtiers at times, and then they put on hats of being ugly witches, and then they jump to being on the boat, sailors of Aeneas's ship sailing off to Rome. So there are a diversity of characters in this, and in certain productions, those witches can be really nasalized, bringing the tone forward, very ugly. And in our production, strings will be even playing sul ponticello, so making a very hazy, eerie sound. So this opens the third act. And it is rustic and joyful and captures kind of that sailor quality.
Let's get in the mood for that as we continue with this music from Dido and Aeneas, which is being performed three times this weekend, Friday evening and Saturday twice. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
And streamers curling, anchors waving, sails unfurling.
Phoebe's pale, the yawning beams, gliding her deceitful streams. Our plotters talk, the queen's forsook.
Oh! must mush, it must be just all over the ocean. I'll make mush, it must be just all over the ocean. From the ruin of others, our pleasures we borrow. Elissa bleeds tonight, Elissa bleeds tonight, and Carthage flames tomorrow.
Distractions are delight, delight and greatest sorrow.
A sequence from Dido and Aeneas by Purcell, in which we heard within 4 minutes of time from courtiers, sailors, and witches. And Tim Westerhaus, who's my guest here, Tim, who's conducting it and putting this together, how does that work for the performers?
Yeah, so it's important to put this work in its historical context. It's a little bit before we really developed this bel canto, singing everything beautifully. And in that last excerpt, you heard sailors, which in my mind and the Baroque mind should have sounded drastically different from the witches. Mm. So the women sing Elissa's ruined, which would be a very noble way to sing about how a witch is going to connive. But the alternate tradition is to bring the tone forward. As vocalists, we talk about nasal forward resonance. And when you would do that, Elissa's ruined. And then as witches, you might even hiss the S a little bit more. Elissa's ruined suddenly dramatizes it in a really transformed way. These singers are performing multiple roles. So that's how we distinguish between the characters. It translates into basically a lot of fun for our performers.
And obviously when the Gonzaga University Chamber Chorus does this, they're learning a whole lot of stuff.
Absolutely. It's an hour of music. And this, as far as operas go, is significant in how much of the music is for full company. Mm. All the performers for this production are Gonzaga students, but of a very high level.
But also when I say learning a lot of stuff, they're learning a lot of different styles and abilities and important.
Precisely. One of the other reasons stuff. I love working with Baroque music is that it helps our students explore ornamentation. Improvisation. So not just singing what's on the score, and there's an exploratory stage. So it's a very creative driven process in the rehearsal.
It's one thing to have a great chorus and have them do it, and it's another to have soloists. And so tell me how you're working that out with Dido and Aeneas.
So our soloists are fully drawn from the Gonzaga student population. There are four primary leads. Dido, Queen of Carthage, frequently played by a mezzo-soprano or soprano. Her handmaiden, Belinda. Aeneas, the Trojan prince, and then the sorceress, who in our production and in other productions is played as a sorcerer in the hag tradition. So our soloist playing Dido is Amanda Root, an exemplary vocal performance student at Gonzaga.
Well, we'll spend a little time with her, but first let's hear from a recent performance she did of the aria Schema Dich from Bach Cantata 147.
Thank you.
From a performance at St. John's Cathedral, that's an aria from Bach's Cantata 147, the aria Schimmendich. Keith Thomas, the oboe d'amore player, but especially for our purpose, the singer Amanda Rood. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning, Vern.
And let's jump right into talking about your great life change that happened. You innocently walked into college to be what, a science major or something?
A history major.
A history major, yeah. And why did you do that?
I've always loved history and learning, and anytime I can find out something new about the world, I'm all for it. And it seemed to me that history was the best way to do it. But music has always been an extraordinary part of my life, just so very important to me. And so, of course, when I walked into the history department at Gonzaga, I also walked into the music department with Dr. Westerhaus and spoke to him about joining the choir, and so continued my musical journey as I was studying history.
But then it's kind of a big deal once you're invested in one thing to jump ship and do something else. So talk about some of the issues behind a decision like that.
Well, I came to a point where I was enjoying my academics to a certain extent, but I felt that I was being untrue to a part of myself by not focusing on studying music. And I actually ended up taking a leave of absence for almost an entire school year and came to Dr. Westerhaus and kind of shared my struggle with him about, you know, I don't feel like I've been doing what's truly right for me, and I feel led to pursue music, but I'm not sure what to do, and I think I'm going to take a year off. And he said, well, please keep singing. Please stay in the choir. You've got a spot here. Figure out what you need to do and don't give up on your passion. And it was through that I really came to the decision that, yes, music is what I need to be studying. This is where I need to be. And so I came back that next fall as a vocal performance major.
And what are some of the issues of suddenly being a vocal performance major? Because there are things about your voice you have to reconcile, aren't there?
Yes, there are. I had never taken a voice lesson before I started studying voice full time. And so it's been an interesting process. Switching, when I came to Gonzaga, I was singing as a very high soprano, and I have since transitioned as a mezzo-soprano. So it's been an interesting transition, emotionally, mentally, and just physically, getting used to singing as a mezzo in this middle kind of range, and the technique that needs to happen, the vowel shifts, and just finding where my real core sound is. It's been a very interesting process.
But in the middle of this, you're getting all these great opportunities.
Oh, yes, it's been absolutely wonderful. I am the alto choral scholar at St. John's. I also get to work on special projects through the Cathedral Cantorae chorus. So I've had a lot of Bach experience in the last year and a half. And, of course, with Dido and Aeneas this year, I have had the amazing opportunity to sing Dido.
Nice. And so I'm speaking with Amanda Rood, who sings Dido and Aeneas in this performance. It's 8 o'clock Friday night, Saturday at 2 and 8 at the Hemmingson Center Ballroom, that new big building on the Gonzaga campus. You're a senior this year?
No, I have one more year to go.
So that's great. So with what you're doing, you still can catch up, because you are playing catch up vocally.
Yes, I am playing catch up. And I've been in school a little bit longer than most college students, but I'm catching up. I'm getting where I need to be, and I think I'm in a good place.
Good. And so singing Dido is my guest, Amanda Rood. And then back to you, Tim. Instrumentalists, while you have your chorus, you have them rub shoulders with the best from everywhere.
That's right. We've got a 12-person
Baroque orchestra drawn across from across the United States, from Seattle, Portland, Bozeman, and New York City, folks who play with Apollo's Fire and Trinity Wall Street, some of the finest Baroque ensembles. Several members are recent graduates of the Juilliard School program for historical performance with Monica Huggett. So we've had this ensemble in since Sunday evening, some since Monday, and they're in for a week-long residency. So our students are getting to perform this fantastic masterwork with some of the finest players from across the nation. In addition to 10 string players, we have Theorbo, who's playing continuo from Seattle, Kevin Payne, and I'm leading on harpsichord, mm-hmm. more in practice with Baroque.
Sure. And so one of these is Amanda, is Marie Daniels. She's from Juilliard?
Recent graduate, yeah. And is a new friend. It's a small community of musicians, so we connect across from the United States, but mm-hmm. it's been a great pleasure to have Marie with us.
Do you mind leading with your playing? So that let's hear a little bit of Bach played for us by Marie Daniels on the viola. Prelude of the Third Bach Suite played for us in the studio by the violist Marie Daniels. Marie, let's find out a little bit about you. You're breathless from playing, but that's okay. I got to start with the usual prosaic questions. Do you live in both worlds, past and present? In other words, do you also play modern viola?
I do. I have two different violas that I use for depending on the gig. It gets a little complicated with traveling these days. Traveling with two instruments isn't too easy, but I love having both.
Because you have to, because they're so different set up. So talk about the early music side of you. Is this something you always loved, or did you grow into it at some point?
This was something that I was introduced to at the Juilliard School. I started my undergraduate degree in 2009, which was coinciding with the year that Juilliard founded the Historical Performance Program. And they were in need of violists, actually, and so they started offering secondary lessons. And I Through a string of friends, actually, started getting into that, and they gave me an instrument. They started giving me lessons, and every year I just started doing more and more of it.
And tell me about why you fall in love with it. What's the appeal? What's the attraction of doing Baroque viola, you know, in addition to your modern viola?
For me, I think I just fell in love with the sound, especially the sound of gut strings. There's a rawness to it, which feels just very natural, and it has always touched me. The music and the repertoire itself. I've always loved Bach, and getting to know even more of the Baroque composers and all the music of that era. I think early music history was also one of my favorite classes. Yeah. So it's just found a special place in my heart. And the people are great, too. I've always gotten along with Baroque musicians.
are you still there, or are you out in the cold world now?
Where is that?
Are you still at Juilliard? Or
I'm in the freelance world now. I graduated in May, and I enjoy doing lots of different things and projects. Most of my work is in early music, but it's a small community, so you do get to travel a bit.
Great, and so welcome to Spokane and,
thank you.
And this community. That's the violist Marie Daniels, who is one of the people in this, 17-piece orchestra, Tim?
12-person.
12-person piece orchestra. And so this is Friday night at 8, Saturday afternoon at 2, and then again Saturday night at 8, three performances of Dido and Aeneas, the English Baroque dance opera, Gonzaga University Chamber Chorus and Dance Company, and the Incendo Baroque Ensemble. Let's go out with one of the really favorite, famous moving pieces from Dido and Aeneas. It's Dido's Lament, When I Am Laid in Earth.